Chris Earl was never able to jump back to his own time.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Wing.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Yes, we're back. We're not weather wimps tonight because there's no weather.
Yes. Well, there was weather.
Yes.
There was weather, but there is not really. There's just the remnants of weather now.
Yeah.
Like today parking, I was like, oh, little Corolla, you can do it. Get over that 6-foot mound of snow.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number, 855-915-WMFO. Hey, congratulations to Chris Earl on 10 years of time travel.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't realize tonight was his last show.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era.
It's been awesome.
That's the first show that I ever did on MFO, actually.
Really?
Was coming in and he had me, you know, pick my playlist. But that was when I was just a wee little pudgy 23-year-old.
It's a gateway. For MFO involvement in general.
It's a WMFO gateway drug,
yes,
if you will.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. But, you know, it's a great show. He's always done well. A lot of people love the show. He told me the concept of what he's doing next, and it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited. I'm super excited both to listen to and be on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you film geeks out there. You film geeks like myself, yeah, you're gonna like this show.
He's gonna have me on the show, and he's gonna throw me off after 20 minutes because I'm gonna start getting all film major on everything.
Because you're gonna start getting all Derek.
That, and there's only so much Blade Runner fanboyism anybody can take. So
I watched Kids for the first time on the night of the blizzard just because I had nothing else to do.
Ew.
Oh my goodness,
that movie's wrong.
I could talk about that movie for like an hour.
Yeah, you could talk about the charges that should have been brought up against people in that movie.
I was going to say, it made me want to be like, have you ever seen, I forget which Alanis Morissette music video it is. I think it's You Live, You Learn, but it's the whole one is her going around breaking various laws of various cities.
Yeah.
Like, and everything from like leaving the scene of an accident to as low as kissing a stranger. But it reminded me of that, where I was like, I just want to go through this movie and count how many laws are being broken over the course of it.
Yeah.
Even in the first 30 seconds and the last 30 seconds,
yeah.
Some of the worst laws you can break in New York City are broken.
Yep. Not to mention what was going on behind the scenes on that film.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Oh,
not cool.
I know what I'm going to binge read about tonight.
Oh, yeah. just look it up anywhere, and it's easy to find.
Yes. Well, speaking of older men being inappropriate with younger girls, in local news, a man was arrested in North Carolina is set to face a Massachusetts judge after being charged in connection with the murder of a 15-year-old girl in 1986. Michael Hand, 61, was arrested on a fugitive from justice charge last Friday at his home in Troutman, North Carolina, by state and local police. He was charged today with murdering Tracy Gilpin of Kingston at his arraignment in Brockton District Court after he waived rendition on Monday. It's unclear if he has an attorney. Gilpin was reported missing on October 1st, 1986 by her family. Her body was found 22 days later in Miles Standish State Forest, and investigators determined she died from a massive skull fracture landed by a massive blow to the head. This is, I was reading, her sister now is actually in the Mass State Police, or she's
yeah,
in...
Yeah, pretty much became a cop because
of this. Yeah. And it's a true testament. It made me think of, for those of you, I was too young to even know this story, but you guys who listen to us often know I'm a crime nerd. It made me think of Martha Moxley.
Yeah.
Where it's a true testament to law enforcement that no matter how much time passes, they are determined to solve those cases, even no matter how cold they get. And this, I just, my heart went out to this family being like, as much as obviously it's not going to bring her back, what a sense of satisfaction. After, I mean, 1986 was the year I was born. That's how long they've been waiting for this person to be brought to justice. That's, I mean, it was just, that's why the story really, and especially because a friend of mine from Pembroke was killed by a serial killer when I was in high school. And I always think like, oh, there's way too many woods around there. So this kind of touched close to home for me a little bit.
Good police work.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is good police work and determination and,
absolutely.
You know.
And like, and such, what's the word I'm looking for? Perseverance when it seems like, because, you know, so often after a year, if there's nothing, they just kind of, yeah. But it shows that there are a lot of cops that are really determined to solve their cases, to get this done.
And this one was one of those random street corner abduction situations. It wasn't somebody that she knew. It was a guy who was driving by, crime of opportunity. And those are the toughest ones for the cops to solve.
Yeah, because there's no, like, did she have a creepy uncle? Was there an older dude that she dated that things went wrong? Like, this was a completely random, just creepy dude, right place, right time. Or I prefer to say, innocent girl, wrong place, wrong time.
Fortunately, I believe the monster in this case was already in jail when they got him. Wasn't he already in custody on something else?
So he had been in custody on something else. It's not completely clear. I was trying to get more information about it. It seems as though he had either escaped, because Troutman, North Carolina is a very desolate area of North Carolina. If you're going to hide from police, that's where to hide from police.
This is a guy who likes being out of the woods.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Evidently so. It seems as though he was already a fugitive from the law, and then just through the magic of DNA and fingerprinting and all the technology we have now, they figured out, like, whoa, this guy in North Carolina is the guy we want for this murder 30 years ago.
Nice.
Go law enforcement on this one.
Nice. I love forensics.
Yeah, forensics are so cool. So national news, exactly 1 month after 17 people were killed at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School here in Parkland, survivors of the massacre joined tens of thousands of students across the U.S. in a national walkout this morning. The 10 a.m. protest lasted 17 minutes, 1 minute for each of the victims killed at the high school. The purpose, according to organizers, was to highlight Congress in action against the gun violence plaguing our schools and neighborhoods. That was a quote. Exactly 1 month after 17 people were killed there, survivors of the massacre... just read the wrong thing. The survivors, they estimate that around 180,000 students participated in schools all over the country, with varying amounts between thousands and just tens, depending on the school, the availability, and the weather. But I will say that I actually looked into this further, and there were several students of ages ranging from 5 to 18 picketing outside the State House today, actually.
I think that estimate, that 180,000 estimate, is low, because I saw big crowds in all the coverage.
I've been trying to follow the story. Hang on, let me see. My computer just decided to update, folks. Isn't radio magic
Thank
wonderful?
Thank you, Microsoft.
Thanks, Microsoft. This is why I use freaking Apples.
This is why the DJ computer is Linux.
It was, I found it very interesting, though, that kids use a snow day to do this.
Well,
like for a lot of kids,
it happened to be a snow day here, but in other parts of the country it wasn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, in other parts of the country it wasn't. They did the 17-minute thing, but the kids here in Boston, like, they literally spent all day in the cold standing. Yeah. On the State House.
Let's go
steps.
To the State House and make some noise.
Yeah, and yelling. And it was one of those things where I always go back and forth about how effective protest actually is, especially in this day and age when there's so many different outlets that people think are a version of protest. Like this Facebook status, and if it gets 1,000 likes, I'll do this. Like, yeah. Things like that. But with this, it really... It really struck me the most because it was people who are not able to vote yet. This is the next round of voters that we're going to be getting. And it was really inspiring that so many of these kids were just so hell-bent on standing up for something that this is their only form. This is the only form of effect they can have at this point.
I think
almost all of them are under 18, so almost all of them are not yet legal to vote. And the fact that didn't deter them from saying, what can we do about it?
I think on one level, there is a knee-jerk reaction and a desire to paint this as a bunch of uninformed kids just following the crowd.
And that's the appropriate, that's the convenient reaction of adults who are against the message they're trying to say.
And certainly there's going to be some of that. There's always... Any protest, whether it's Black Lives Matter or it's speaking out against white supremacists or whatever it is, there are some people who are there just to be there. You know,
always is.
I hear there's going to be girls in weed. I'm going. This, I am reluctant in any way, shape, or form to say anything bad about this or to say anything bad about these kids, even if they're there for the wrong reason.
They're there.
And the fact that they're there means something, because what we have in this country right now is a situation where pretty much anyone can walk into a school with a gun and start killing kids.
Yeah.
Okay? That is a public safety issue. Name one other public safety issue in this country that has been allowed to persist for this amount of time. Ford announced a recall today. 1.8 million vehicles because a steering wheel might come off.
Yeah, and that's
which is a bad thing to happen with a car. But 1.8, but we have a safety issue. We're going to fix it immediately. You, City of Boston, all these cities and towns around here. If you don't shovel your sidewalk, you get a ticket.
Oh yeah,
because it's a public safety issue.
Yeah, driving in here today, there were signs everywhere saying "clean off your car, or get a fine." Like. Cleaning snow off your car so you don't endanger the life of the person behind you in traffic if snow flies off your car. That's a bigger concern at this point than what these kids were protesting against.
We won't let people smoke in bars because it's a public safety issue.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a smoker, as most of you know, both the fun stuff and the stuff that I hate myself for smoking. But that always blows my mind. Like, I don't like when people smoke in bars. I don't like smoking indoors, despite the fact that I am a smoker. But it does blow my mind that I'm like, really, you're banning this.
Yeah.
And taxing the heck out of it. Yet guns is like, no, you know, this is kind of a gray area.
And the thing about it is, with this issue, it really seems like everyone just wants to stick their head in the sand and hope it never happens again.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Just keep their fingers crossed instead of actually doing about it.
We can't do that anymore. And whenever you hear the phrase, one of the things that came up over and over again in these protests today is these kids saying, no more thoughts and prayers. We're sick of hearing about thoughts and prayers.
Oh my God, that is my least favorite thing whenever something tragic happens. Thoughts and prayers.
Do something.
I'm sorry, but for those of us who don't really believe in God, that's really hollow.
but let me put that in a different context, because what all these politicians are saying when they come out and they say thoughts and prayers, what they're saying is, we're sorry. We're sorry you went to school and you got shot. We're sorry that your friends got killed. We're sorry. We're sending you our thoughts. There's nothing we can do.
I wouldn't say, well, on the flip side of that, it's not even just we're sorry this happened, but like you just said, there's nothing we can do. It's a matter of liability, too, because if a politician were to come out with more than thoughts and prayers and say, we're going to address this, we're going to find a solution, then it's on their shoulders to actually do so. And thus far, it's just been, I mean, it's been a Jets versus Sharks situation with this whole gun control thing. And it's, for those of you who don't get that reference, watch West Side Story, 1960 Best Picture. Come on. But it's one of those things where, like, they're kind of saving their neck or you know, covering for themselves by being like, oh, well, I can't actually say that I'm going to do something about it, but I am really sorry this happened.
Correct me if I'm wrong about this, but for all of the school shootings that we've had in this country, and I'm not counting colleges in this because that's a different situation, for all of the elementary, what we'd consider elementary, primary, secondary school shootings we've had in this country, not a single one has taken place at a private school. And certainly not a single one has taken place at a boarding school. So how is it that we have maniacs with guns shooting up our public schools?
That's a very good point. I've never thought of that. Run by the government, but
we don't have maniacs with guns shooting up our private schools run by for-profit private individuals.
And which, to be frank, speaking as a former private school kid, kids there are bigger jerks than the ones in public school.
Yeah.
I did not like high school at all, and it was because it was because of the people who it's a matter of, well, I think honestly the answer to that question is that it's a matter of power. When you're in private school, if you're at a school where money is how power is shown, the people who would normally be the outcasts, as long as they can flash something cool, they're not going to be.
Yeah, but then you got the poor smart kid over in the corner, and he's the one you got to watch out for. The poor smart kid over in the corner
knows they're going to Harvard because they went to this fancy private school. It's in public school that money or being smart and talented, both of them are obsolete. And I'm not saying that there aren't kids in public school that are smart or there aren't kids in public school who are rich. I'm just saying that the things that kind of that are what make you the powerful one, what how you exert the product of your insecurity, are very different in a private school setting than they are in a public school.
Yeah, and that may be part of it, but at the same time, I think there's a different attitude towards security at those schools as well.
That's true.
You know, and maybe you got fewer screw-ups walking through the door. I don't know. All I know is we've done nothing in response to the school shootings that have been going on in this country for more than 20 years now.
Yeah, since I was, I mean, I remember watching the footage of Columbine in 6th or 7th grade.
Yeah.
In French class. And I remember thinking, like, as I've spoken on the show before, I remember thinking to myself, there's no way this is ever going to happen again.
Columbine.
This is such an isolated incident. Like, all of this is way too crazy to ever, they're obviously going to do something to prevent this from ever happening again. And it's been happening. It happened through my entire adolescence and has been happening through my entire adult life. And with little to no actual progress on the issue.
Columbine happened nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah, Columbine happened, I mean, like I said,
1999 was when Columbine happened. It's been nearly 20 years. And the only thing that's been done in those 20 years is schools have adopted these quote-unquote zero-tolerance policies where somebody writes a message on a desk that says, I'm going to shoot up the school, and now we got to shut down the school and bring in the bomb-sniffing dogs and have a lot of theater to make everybody feel better about what's going on.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's all pomp and circumstance and no actual action. It's just like, it reminds me of that song from Chicago where that Billy the lawyer sings. It's a give them the old razzle dazzle.
Yeah, that's
razzle,
exactly dazzle what it
them.
Is.
It's basically, yeah, it's what the best line, the best descriptive line from that is, how can they see with sequins in their eyes?
Yeah.
It's basically just like, we're gonna act like we really care about this so that you get so distracted by how much we care about this that you don't notice that we're not doing a thing about it.
And then you got these school officials who are so afraid of everybody and afraid of everything that something happens and they don't tell the parents. We had the ammunition clip that was found in a school over Christmas break here in Massachusetts, and the parents didn't find out about it until after the shooting down in Florida, and were rightfully furious about it. And sure, you fired the school superintendent, and maybe you fire the principal, but how does that happen? And what measures are in place? And the measures that are in place, we have to keep in mind, are only as good as the people who are doing the job. And the people who are doing the job, in a lot of cases, leave a lot to be desired.
So it's an estimated, just, I'm sorry, I've been looking for this actual number, an estimated 185,000 kids in 50 states, in all 50 states, with around 3,100 schools participating. And the issue with this, where I believe it would have been more were not for the fact that there were a lot of school administrators that were totally on board with them doing this. And a lot of it had to do with them actually agreeing, because it was organized by the same people that organized the Women's March. So it was with...
you mean Russia? Russia organized the Women's March. There was one. Russia organized this?
There was one AP teacher at, I forget if it was at that school or a nearby school. And he was the one that kind of set the ball in motion of like, this is something we should do.
Yeah.
And that I think is cool too, that it's an adult getting involved and setting a good example for these kids. And it is, like I said, it is, as much as none of them are of voting age, or at least almost none of them are of voting age. But it's cool that they have some sort of positive influence in this arena, that there's somebody saying, no, go out. If you disagree with something, if you think something in our country needs to change, go out and do something to change it.
This is a good example of how our democracy is supposed to work.
Exactly.
And for the idiots out there, the NRA supporters, the two-fisted gun owners saying, they're coming for our guns, shut up. Nobody's coming for your guns. What we're trying to do is keep the guns from finding their ways into schools and murdering innocent young people.
I do think it's funny, though, that I think that you made a very good point earlier, Derek, that there were some kids that were there actually passionate about the issues, and there were some kids that are like, so are you going to the walkout?
Yeah.
But the numbers are definitely, it doesn't, as long as it creates the picture, because at least even if they are a little bit just there because it's cool, maybe, I can't tell you how many times I've been to a couple of protests in my day, but I can't tell you how many times it's been clear that there's been somebody who was there just because, like, ooh, this is a cool thing to do, and then by the end of the day was actually an activist made.
Yeah.
But it was funny watching, you know, I watched a lot of footage of especially the State House walk today. It was so funny watching the news camera pan these teenagers, and there were some that were just completely unfazed by the news camera being near them and were so passionate, and there were other ones that were like looking over and like whispering to the friend like, oh my god, we're on TV right now.
Yeah.
Like, and you can definitely tell, but it's a matter of, it doesn't matter how you get people on board, as long as you, well, within reason, as long as you get them on board.
Yeah. And the thing is, these kids all have a vested interest in this, because none
they
of them,
don't want to die.
Yeah, nobody wants to get shot at school. Nobody wants to get shot at school.
School stinks enough.
And we really need to support the kids in this.
Yeah.
It's something, I don't know what the solution is. And I understand that no solution is going to be foolproof. But what we've had is
no solution at all.
At all. Period. Yeah. Nothing.
There's
For decades.
It's been, like you said, it's been a lot of thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Thoughts and prayers, that's a religious notion. Not a legal action.
And here's the thing. NRA, I'm not totally opposed to this organization, but the NRA needs to back the hell down on this and come out full throat, say, we do not support any kind of gun violence in our schools. Instead, what they're doing is they're suing Florida for trying to raise the age to buy assault weapons to 21.
Yeah, because that's going to make a huge difference, because 21-year-olds can't walk into schools.
Not a good look, NRA.
And kill a bunch of people.
Not a good look. Maybe you ought to get on board with measures that may keep some guns out of our public schools.
Or may keep some guns out of the hands of crazy people. Out of the hands of people who should not have them in their hands. I definitely can understand the value of being able to arm oneself, especially if you're in the military or in the police force,
sure.
or if you're in the witness protection or if you're in the witness protection program because you have a restraining order against a husband who tried to kill you. In that case, yeah, I think it's okay for you to have a firearm, but with training, with mental health screening, with super high taxes on it, with no gun show, I don't need taxes.
I'm fine with everybody having all the guns they want.
But with no gun show loophole, without like with all of everything that can make it possible to, I mean, it's if you're going to make me jump through hoops to prove that I need medical marijuana, then you should make someone else jump through hoops to prove that they need a gun.
Well, the bar for medical marijuana is lower for a reason. Because the people who really need medical marijuana aren't necessarily able to jump through a lot of hoops. And the fees that they charge in a lot of cases are deterrent enough.
Oh, no, I'm saying since I moved back to Massachusetts, I've had to go through a lot of different... I'm saying that it's like an annoying process. You might be surprised. In California, it's nothing. You go in, you're like, my foot hurts. But it's. I'm saying that if everything that anyone of either party, of either side, deems harmful... It shouldn't matter. Well, no, this is my right. This is my right. Well, you know what? We all have to jump through some hoops for something we really want or really need. And it shouldn't be any different. This is a weird analogy, I know. But it shouldn't be any different with something that's going to help somebody than with something that's going to supposedly, theoretically, protect somebody. It shouldn't just be, I'm going to hop out and grab one. And a lot of, and especially because the majority of the guns that have been used in mass shootings, especially all of them, actually, I was going to say especially in the last 10 years, but all of them, like Columbine, all of them were legally obtained.
Yeah.
Maybe stolen from parents or something like that, but all of them were legally obtained and very easily.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main message the kids were trying to get forth today. And I mean... High five, kids across the country.
I'm on board with the kids, 100%. In world news, tensions between Russia and the United Kingdom reached a new high as UK officials accused Russia of using nerve gas to poison former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, who were found unconscious on a park bench in Salisbury. A police officer who attended the Skripals has also been hospitalized. UK Prime Minister Theresa May. Oh my God! UK Prime Minister Theresa May called on Russia to admit its responsibility.
It is
in attack,
a tongue twistery thing,
which Putin refused with a warning not to threaten a nuclear power. May responded by kicking 23 Russian diplomats out of the country and prohibiting government officials and members of the royal family from attending the 2018 FIFA World Cup, which will be held in Russia. This is, for the record, the second time that Russia has carried out an attack using a weapon of mass destruction in the city of London. Polonium is a little bit harder to weaponize, but it is still a weapon of mass destruction. So you have Russia, or people working on behalf of Russia, or affiliated with Russia, because I don't believe for a second that some rando on the street has got his hands on some rare Russian nerve agent.
Yeah.
That only Russia knows how to make, by the way. Some rando got his hand on this and just happened to go after Sergei Skripal. No, that's not what happened here. I know plausible deniability is a part of the whole game, but at the end of the day, you had a foreign nation or people acting on behalf of a foreign nation carry out a chemical attack in a major city in the United Kingdom.
I was going to say in foreign soil.
Yeah, on foreign soil, in another sovereign nation.
Sorry. I will say that reading this story, the first thing I thought of was just... So you know how ever since World War II, Germany's really been trying to offset that whole thing that happened?
Oh, we are happy, friendly children, people now.
You can have some of our schnitzel. Like, the first thing I thought of when I heard this story was just, did you guys completely forget about Stalin's dinner parties back in the day? Like, don't you want to really distance yourself from randomly poisoning people that you act like are your friends? Like... Because that was my favorite thing I ever learned in history class in high school.
Yeah,
well, it was always have dinner parties and just poison the people he didn't like.
Yeah.
But
anyone who lived, they lined up out back and shot. Yep. So, yeah.
But that's I just looked and I was like, come on, guys. I mean, it's 2018. If you really, really want to do that, like,
can you just shoot people?
I'm gonna say, be a little more, or arguably, like shooting people, less creative.
Can you just shoot people? Because the thing is,
you're gonna get caught if you try to do something all nonchalant and under the radar. There is no under the radar anymore. Everything is in real time and videotaped and vetted and blah 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 blah.
There is, because the people who are doing this are the best of the best. They understand.
Well, clearly,
they understand.
They need to get better.
Well, look, they have no suspects. They have no idea who precisely was responsible for this. So plausible deniability by the government is maintained. Mm-hmm. It is a successful op in that sense. You're also using nerve gas on foreign soil. And it is not a successful op in that sense.
Just so I can say this for the record before the phone lines ring up with people yelling at me, I do not support the use of any nerve gas or trying to kill people. However, if you are going to do that, do it on your own turf. Don't go to
Skirpal's never going back to Russia because they kill him as soon as he gets off the plane.
Oh, totally. But that's what I'm saying, is that if you're going to try to pull something like this, pull it in a place where you can control the situation, not in a place, especially a place like the United Kingdom, which, I mean, arguably is one of the more respected countries in the world and one of the more, like, people look and are like, they've got their word I can't say on the radio together. You know what I mean? Like, this is a country we can look up to because they consistently have been doing things pretty right. You don't want to do it in a country that people look up to. If you're going to do that, do it in a... Now I don't want to say the name of any country because I'm going to be mean to whatever country I say. But do it in a place where it's going to fall under the radar. It's going to, people aren't going to, even if it's, I mean, I don't know. I just think that this is getting them there.
The problem that you have is the guy's in England and he's never going to leave England.
Yeah.
So you've got to take him out in England. Like, hit him with a car.
That's what I was going to say. Do it
Throw
in a way.
Knives at him.
Like, do it in a way that it could be so easily.
Use a blow dart.
Chalked up to, like, a Clockwork Orange type situation where it was just like, oh, it's just some hooligans that just randomly attacked him.
I mean,
don't do it in a way that it's like clearly some chemical warfare mastermind did this.
This is spy games. This is exactly what this is. This kind of thing is going on all the time, all over the world. Spies, former spies, get killed, and they get killed in interesting ways. We know this. The United States.
I do love that, but it's like we have to like really creatively kill them.
And let's not sugarcoat
May
it.
May they
and
all
let's
rest
not
in
delude
peace
ourselves
or whatever.
The United States does this. Russia does this. Israel does this. The United Kingdom does this.
I was
this.
Just going to say the United Kingdom does this.
They all do this.
Yeah.
Nobody else has the audacity to show up with their proprietary nerve gas and deploy it in a park in Salisbury.
Salisbury. I love how people in Britain pronounce that.
That's Salisbury. Where the Russians are getting this wrong. And
yeah, don't do it. I mean, that would be like setting off nerve gas in Boston Common.
And the thing about it is, it's
even though I guess that potentially could happen, they did.
It's insulting.
Blow up bombs on Boylston Street.
It's insulting, and it's an act of tremendous hubris on the part of whichever Russian was responsible for this.
Well, I was just going to say, like, the cojones on this guy being like, no, you know what? We can just pull it off right in the middle of one of the main sections of where everyone is.
Nikki Haley was down at the United Nations this afternoon saying, they will do this in New York if we don't do something about them. And
oh, absolutely.
I understand.
They will do this in Washington Square Park or in Central Park or in Bryant Park. They
Putin,
will do this somewhere real.
I understand Putin wants to be big, scary Putin. I get it. But dial it down a little bit, guys. You want to kill your traitors? Fine. Look, those people made those decisions. And if you're a spy and you turn against your country and you get other people killed or you turn other spies over, you get what you deserve in that situation. But can we calm down with the nerve gas, please? Can we calm down with the polonium?
Well, and especially, it's the thing about nerve gas, too, is like, it dissipates, but not enough.
Yeah.
So if you're targeting one or a couple people, like you said, like hit him with a car, stab him, shoot him, like have it. And again, listeners of WMFO, we are not condoning any of this. We are just saying nerve gas is not a, oh, I'm just going to target this one person kind of thing. Like this will create a massive shutdown of a whole area. And
it's very much
bunch
about
of dummies. That's when, like, really, honestly, the scariest thing to me, in terms of the state of the world right now, is the fact that people that a lot of times what they do makes me think I'm smarter than them have so much control.
Yeah.
That these are the people who literally are deciding our lives and our deaths. It's terrifying.
Whoever authorized this should be fired.
Yeah, right?
Really should be fired. Because
if there is a God, come on, dude. Do your job. Handle this.
I get that you're trying to send a message to anybody else who might
try to mess with you. Yeah.
To be a double agent or do any of the things that Skirpal might have done, but nerve gas in a public park, chemical attack on foreign soil, give me a break. There has to be a line of reason in all of this. And I know you're Russia, you can go invade Crimea, and you can shoot down passenger jets, you can do all these things and nobody's going to bother you, but sooner or later it goes too far. And this is a case where it really goes too far. In sports news, Kirk Cousins made NFL history with the announcement of a 3-year contract with the Minnesota Vikings valued at $84 million. While the price is not unusual, the terms of the deal are as all of the money is guaranteed, meaning Cousins will take home $28 million per year no matter what happens or how he plays.
Oh, man.
Minnesota dealt all three of its 2017 quarterbacks once it reached a deal with Cousins, sending Case Keenum to the Denver Broncos, Sam Bradford to the Arizona Cardinals, and Teddy Bridgewater to the New York Jets.
So when you say no matter what...
His leg could fall off tomorrow.
I was just going to say, like, someone could chop off his leg and he'll still get that money.
His leg could fall off tomorrow, and Minnesota is on the hook for $28 million for the next 3 years.
Oh, he must be a damn good football player.
This is where this gets interesting.
He's currently with the Redskins.
He's with the Redskins. This is where it gets interesting because he is, but I don't know that he's necessarily that 84 good. Million guaranteed money. He's got a couple of things going for them. He's never missed a game. So he's played every single game in his career so far. So he's got that sort of Eli Manning, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, like I show up for work every day kind of thing.
He's passed for more than 4,000 yards in the past 3 years and leads NFL quarterbacks in passing. But he's not necessarily the game winner.
The thing is...
And the question is he not a game winner because of ineptitude on the part of the Redskins, and he's a superstar, or is he not a game winner because he's just not a game winner?
He's just not that good.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, looking at a picture of him right now, one thing that perhaps would not occur to a man, he's also a good PR move. That is a handsome gentleman right there.
Yeah.
And he's a Tommy Brady. Everyone who wants a Tommy Brady. And that is, he's got the face that can be on whatever Minnesota's version of Dunkin' Donuts commercials is. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
like what's the word I'm looking for? He's good for franchise.
He's the face of the franchise. He's your franchise quarterback for the next 3 years. And certainly, yes, he encompasses all of that. But it also needs to be about the quality of the gameplay. And I'm stunned.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm stunned that Minnesota got rid of all of their other quarterbacks.
That's putting all your eggs into one handsome yet potentially inadequate basket.
I figured they would have gotten rid of one or two of them. Sam Bradford somehow is getting $20 million out of Arizona for 1 year with another year option. And it's amazing because Bradford... I don't think he's played a complete season in the last 6 or 7 years because he keeps getting hurt. And when he's not hurt, his numbers aren't that impressive.
Yeah, like they're not bad, but they're not like, oh my God, you should be getting $87 million guaranteed dollars.
I can't even
fathom that amount of money. Like trying to think of what 87, like I just paid a credit card bill that I had a late fee on for $78. And it like hurt my soul that I had to drop that much money. And the only reason I didn't have time to go to the bank because of the stupid freaking blizzard.
Yeah.
And so I got a late charge because it was a day late. But like that, like $78 is a huge deal to me. 84 million.
$28 million a year.
84
guaranteed.
$84 million.
This is a game changer.
They know that they can't take it with them, right?
This is a game changer in the NFL because there are a lot of these high value contracts that get tossed around. And you see the numbers and you're like, oh my God, look, he's gonna make $40 million next year. Well, no. Because
it will be taxed to hell.
Out of that $40 million, $15 million is guaranteed. Okay, and if you win the Super Bowl, you get the full 40. And there are other performance incentives that are included in that.
But this is like even if they end dead last, he's getting it all.
At $28 million a year, Kirk Cousins becomes one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. The guaranteed money is untouched by anybody.
Yeah,
he is the highest paid quarterback by a wide margin, and other players, now that this has been done, other players are going to start looking for this.
I was going to say they're going to start asking for it, that's so crazy. I remember having this conversation with my ex-boyfriend about, he was like, they must feel so bad when they don't play well. And I'm like, yeah, but I bet that couple million dollars they get for doing it for 5 months makes them feel a little better.
Well, it's more than 5 months because you got to be at it all year.
I know, but I'm saying, yes, you have to train and stuff, but I'm saying like the stuff that, as you said, when it's conditional, the stuff that actually affects it is a short period of time. But what's weird about that though is I always think about if I was, which obviously I can't be because the only professional sport that women really play are soccer, that get any money are soccer and basketball, which both of which I'm terrible at,
and they don't get that much money,
and they don't really get that much money. I'm a pretty good soccer goalie, but that's neither here nor there. But I always think about like if I suddenly got the salary of a professional football player, I'd probably like move into my own apartment, maybe upgrade my car to one with a sunroof, but I don't think that I would. I'd mostly just invest all of it so that I don't have to do anything once 5 years from now I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, most of these guys don't do that.
Yeah, I know. That's why most of them are bankrupt by the time they're 40.
Yes.
They're just like, hey, Ferrari, Camaro, why choose?
I'm buying everybody a house. Don't buy everybody a house.
I have 18 cousins. They're all getting Bentleys.
But and the thing about it is, you know, to answer your other question about, you know, how do they feel when they play poorly? These guys are devastated when they play poorly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it doesn't affect them. I'm saying that that pillow filled with money probably makes them feel better when they get home at night.
Yes and no. Because for these guys, if you are playing in the NFL, you are a particular type of competitive beast. Mm. And when these guys lose a game or these guys don't play well, it is devastating to them. And it's like, yes, I have all this money and I have a boat where I can go like hide in the Caribbean for a couple of weeks.
Hide from everyone who just saw me miss that catch.
But they are so competitive. You have to be playing at that level.
I would say that is true. Well, that's I've never been super into basketball, largely because everyone always thinks I'd be good at it and I'm not.
Basketball requires coordination that Shay lacks.
Yes. Hey, Shay can ballet dance along with the rest of them. She can't dribble, shoot, pass, catch, or anything else, but she can do a pirouette and a tour jeté.
No, you can't. You fall down well, but other than that.
No, when I do ballet, I'm actually quite graceful. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But I remember the short period of my life that I was into like professional basketball was when Kevin Garnett was on the team, and that's because I loved how mad he got when things went wrong. I loved the passion because you could never hear what they were saying, but they would show him in slow motion and you could just read the swears from his lips.
Yeah.
Like, mother!
You can stop right there.
I was going to say, you can see where the rest of it goes. But, yeah. No, you've never seen me dance. Shut up. I'm really good at it. I am terrible. I'm not terrible at sports. I'm pretty good at softball. Ask anyone in the Boston Comedy Softball
League. I'm just going on your lack of skill at walking at this point.
Hey,
so.
I can carry a tray with 8 pint glasses. It's a matter of like the timing. When I'm thinking about it, I'm very graceful. When I'm not thinking about it, I'm not. Moving on from that embarrassing segment, in entertainment news, I was heartbroken to read this because I love this song. I don't know how much you'll care, Derek, but Craig Mack, a breakout star in the golden age of 1990s hip hop, who scored a platinum hit with Flava in a Year, has died in South Carolina at the age of 47. The former rapper apparently died of natural causes, according to the coroner's office, though what those natural causes were at the age of 47 remain unclear. Mack helped popularize Sean Diddy Combs' upstart record label Bad Boy Entertainment with his debut album Project Funk Da World. The centerpiece of the 1994 album was Flava in Your Ear, which was a Grammy-nominated track that burned up the charts. The song's signature line, "Here comes the brand new Flava in Your Ear," or "Here comes the brand new Flava in Your Ear," I love that song, seemed to herald a new era of hip-hop that went from small time to mainstream for the entire population in the 1990s, even so much that a well-known remix of the song featured LL Cool J, that was one of his biggest influences and idols, Busta Rhymes and Biggie Smalls. And, oh God, this really just broke my heart when I read it. He was the first platinum album for Bad Boy Entertainment. For those of you who are familiar with Bad Boy, he has, I mean, to say that he was the first platinum to come from that is a big deal. Like, this is a huge record label now. And at the time, it was just Puff Daddy at the time, just trying to get his foot in the door of having of being a producer, and this guy made it for him. But yeah, he passed. I'd really like to hear. I imagine that has something to do in terms of he must have been diabetic. There must have been something, because natural causes at the age of 47 is a little.
Yeah,
that's a little wonky. You know, like, how natural can it be when you're 47 years
natural
old?
Natural causes can also encompass things like strokes.
That's true. So, well, that's what I'm saying is, like, that I think that he must have had a heart attack, had a stroke, was diabetic. They did not release that information, but suffice it to say, as a huge, as you know and make fun of me for, Derek, I'm a huge hip hop fan, and Craig Mack was like, he was as I just said, he was one of the people that made it go from, like, things that people listened to in their basements to things that were playing on the radio all the time. And I did more research into him after I read this, and he had planned on continuing and then found God. And that's why he's been off the radar since the mid 90s, is that he decided to devote his life to being religious and became a reverend, which a lot of, strangely, more than you might think of hip-hop artists do that. Mace did that. Curtis Blow, if you know the song Those Are the Breaks, from I believe it was from 1980.
Curtis Blow, I know.
Curtis Blow is now a minister of a hip-hop church in Harlem.
Yes,
he used to come to my college once a year. That was the only time I went to mass willingly through all of college, was to go to Curtis Blow's hip-hop mass, because it was awesome.
See, I'm into the original stuff. I'm like strictly old school.
White Lies.
Washington Square, Roxanne, all that stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is all of that is like the underground. That's when it was still very underground, still very.
Once it started getting produced and started all sounding the same, I was like, yeah, you're losing me.
But that's the thing, is that Craig Mack, I'd say, like, at least, and it might be the age that I was when I was sneaking all this stuff. Thanks, religious parents. When I was sneaking all this stuff, I wasn't allowed to watch MTV, but I would sneak in and be like, they're doing a special on Biggie Smalls right now. But, like, I'd say between, like, 1994, which is when this album came out, and, like, 1998-99 is when mainstream hip-hop was really good and still very diverse in terms of the sound. And then all of a sudden it all was just auto-tuned and everything sounded the same.
If you don't have a guy like Grandmaster Flash setting those grooves down live under the tracks, I got no use for you. If you're some producer sitting there with samples and audio equipment and, oh, we'll mix this together, I'm like, there's no challenge in that. All right? Anybody can figure out how to do that. Grandmaster Flash was the real deal because he did all that stuff in real time.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as if you want to make a comparison to film, it's the same as that it's a lot easier to use Final Cut Pro than it is to splice pieces of films together by hand.
Yes, it is.
It's the same sort of concept where it's like anyone can figure out how to use a computer program and hack it into sounding edgy and cool. It's much more of a labor of love when you're doing it entirely organically. And that's why I, like I said, I cried when I read this today because I loved Craig Mack. And he, Flavonier is a good song. If any of you listening have not heard that song, look it up right now. He also, that's the thing is he always said he never wanted to be a one hit wonder. And then he had like one other song that was on the Dangerous Minds soundtrack. And, then after that, like I said, he left for religious reasons. And, you know, I'm not religious at all, but more power to you if that's where your head's taking you. But, yeah, so rest in peace, Craig Mack. Thank you for that awesome and good to dance to song.
Oh, that's what it is. Because I know I just read something about Roxanne Shanté. They're doing a Netflix biopic on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And going into the whole, like, all the Roxanne records.
I would say, I remember Prince loved her, right? Like, she was, like, one of Prince's muses.
That stuff was huge in, like, the early 1980s. Like, every week there was a new Roxanne song that was coming out. And they were just diss tracks bouncing back and forth. And it was great stuff. Sugar Hill Gang, baby, all the way. In technology
hip-hop,
news. Stop talking over your co-host. America's love affair with technology companies appears to be ending. The annual Harris Reputation Poll, which tracks Americans' attitudes toward prominent brands, saw Apple drop from 5th place to 29th place, while Google slid from 8th place to 28th place.
Ooh.
A lack of new products from both companies were cited as reasons for the falls, as well as continued customer anger over an iPhone software update that throttled speed on older devices. All is not lost for technology, however, as Amazon held on to its number one ranking.
As would be expected, I suppose.
We love us some Amazon. Amazon was number one in the Harris poll once again, but Apple and Google.
Well, the thing about Amazon is that it almost from the get-go monopolized everything you want out of the internet. They have, you can buy movies, rent movies, buy TV shows, rent TV shows, get music, buy products to get delivered, buy products to get downloaded. You can, everything one could, you buy groceries. You can, I believe they have a social media and messaging aspect. You can do everything that you want to do on the internet on Amazon. Even though I will say that they, me personally, I don't use, I use Amazon for very specific reasons. In terms of like, I'd say the most common time that I use Amazon is to buy a piece of a Halloween costume I can't find. Like when I was Carmen Sandiego, I couldn't find a red trench coat. I found one on Amazon.
It's interesting.
Like,
it's interesting who's in the top 10 of this because they're primarily companies that people deal with a lot and seem to have a good opinion of. Amazon, obviously, is number one. Number two, Wegmans.
Wegmans.
Second most liked company in America.
Wegmans is the second most liked.
Everybody loves Wegmans.
Weird.
Number three, Tesla.
That I believe. Tesla's pretty dope.
They just shot one into space. So that,
I was going to say, and Tesla, like, what I like about Tesla is, his name's so weird. Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Is always, I believe I told you the story about the Tesla laboratory that the kid wanted to save.
Yeah.
And like wrote a long letter to Elon Musk being like, this is going to be torn down. Can you buy it so we can turn it into a Tesla museum? And Elon Musk was like, sure. How much money do you need?
Yeah.
Like it was, he is like all about both, which I always think is the best thing in a CEO is being equally about innovation and preservation.
I have a feeling that he, because of when this poll just came out, I have a feeling that he launched that Tesla into space right around the time this poll was taking place.
Yeah, just like
just to get a lot of good PR.
Yeah.
But that's Elon Musk. That's who he is.
You guys like me, right?
Number four, most admired company in America, Chick-fil-A.
Really?
Yeah.
My, how things have changed.
Not
in
a lot of liberals. Being pulled by the Harris
evidently
people.
Evidently so. I was going to say, when was that whole thing? Like less, or like a year and a half ago, maybe? If that, the whole fiasco with the...
It's like 3 years ago now that happened.
Time flies when you're having fun.
With the we don't like gays.
Nonetheless, our memories aren't that short, I hope.
Yeah. Number five, doesn't surprise me, really, the Walt Disney Company.
Yeah.
Because people are nutty, loopy
about Disney. Our memories are that short.
Now, number six, H-E-B Grocery. I don't know who they are. They're
Even know who that is.
UPS was number seven.
I do like me some UPS.
Publix Supermarkets is number eight. Aldi is number 10. That's another supermarket. We got one of those around here. Number nine, Patagonia, the clothing folks.
They do make excellent. I mean, I will say I like Patagonia. Oh, I shouldn't say that with the North Face on the back of my chair
right
now.
No, it's all right. Nobody's, you know.
But I always think Patagonia has the most bang for your buck in terms of they're a company that wants, like, their slogan should be, we want to keep you warm.
You're from New England. L-O-B. Buy bean or go home. Just support our friends in Maine.
Their coats aren't as warm. I eat a lot of Ben and Jerry's.
Support our friends in Maine, because if you don't support our friends in Maine, they will leave Maine and look for jobs elsewhere, and then we'll have to deal with them. And nobody wants that.
This is true.
Where are you?
Too many Teva sandals. It will be a Teva sandal overload. No offense, Phoebe.
What the heck is this? I know what this thing's doing. Wrong button.
If I had a nickel.
Always the wrong button.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Should I mention what's coming on Tuesday of next week? No,
I'm already so tired.
I'm not. Here's what I'll tell you about the long-range forecast.
You're going to be cavalier about this?
No, because it's not my job. It's not my job to bring you down. I will say this about the long-range forecast. When the folks on the news, when the weather people are talking about the storm, and they're like, there's a storm coming. Oh, my God, it's a storm. More often than not, that turns out to be a miss.
The one last week wasn't as bad as they were hyping. The one this week was.
When the weather people are whispering about the next storm and they're kind of like, yeah, there might be another storm coming. That's when you worry. That's when you worry. So here's your advanced look at Tuesday of next week. Rain, snow, wind is in the forecast. 21 mile an hour winds. That basically means we get another big one coming in. So we'll see what happens with that. Fun. But before then, no snow.
I would say it's supposed to be nice for
Saturday. Except for tonight. Maybe some snow showers around, depending on where you are. Could be up to an inch of snow. Lows around freezing tonight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Another good day for melting. Highs in the low 40s. Lows in the upper 20s Thursday night. Friday, partly cloudy once again. Highs in the mid 30s. Chilly Friday night. Lows fall into the mid 20s. St. Patrick's Day, bundle up if you're going out and drinking the green beer. Highs only around freezing, lows in the teens.
We're all going to be drinking whiskey. Body will trick us into thinking we're warm.
Yeah, have a little extra Tullamore Dew and you'll be perfectly warm Saturday night. Sunday is going to be bright and sunny but cold. High around 30 degrees, lows in the teens Sunday night. And then on Monday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-30s. Lows fall back into the lower 20s. So chilly St. Patrick's Day weekend, and then probably another big snowstorm is coming in here. So, yeah, don't kill the messenger. It's when they whisper about it.
When they
seem almost guilty about it, that's when you have to worry about what the next one's going to be.
For me, this feels like when a girl's like, my boyfriend doesn't pay enough attention to me, and then she gets a new boyfriend who calls her every 5 seconds, and she's like, leave me alone. That's how I feel about complaining about, the weather's always so monotonous in Los Angeles. I want to go back to New England.
Yeah, welcome back. You've now...
Oh, boy, am I kicking myself in the
butt. You've now reacquainted yourself with how much extra work we do just to live here.
Oh, yes, but you know how toned my arms are as a result?
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week right here on WMFO Medford?
Ready for a change of pace in your diet? Well, think lamb. If you buy a whole leg of lamb, you can have part of it cut into sirloin, chops, and steaks, and you can serve the remainder as a roast. Be sure to look for the U.S. Department of Agriculture Grade Shield with the letters USDA and the word prime or choice. It's your